Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Tesla increases supercharger speeds, the UK's EV surge in popularity, and 50 million battery swaps. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you the reasons Ford's CEO, Jim Farley, thinks you should go EV. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, 7th of August. I'm Martin Lee, and it's my job to go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Well, we'll start with news of a Saudi boost for Lucid. Lucid Group is on a roll right now, having reported second quarter revenue that exceeded analysts' expectations. Can it sustain the momentum as it prepares to launch their highly anticipated Gravity SUV? Well, the company's largest shareholder, Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, has agreed to inject up to $1.5 billion in cash, providing a significant boost to the finances. This investment will help the EV maker add new models to the product lineup and stay afloat until at least the end of 2025. In the second quarter, Lucid's revenue was $200.6 million, driven by higher sales of their luxury electric sedans and more affordable prices as well. This quarter, we saw the Lucid Air reduced in price. The company delivered 2,394 vehicles in the second quarter of the year. Total production for the first half of the year, 3,838. Lucid remains committed to their target of 9,000 vehicles by the end of the year. Well, the news sent Lucid's shares soaring 12%. Despite closing recently down, investors liked the news that they was getting a big, well, what a cash, let's call it that, from the Saudi Public Investment Fund. With a fresh injection of funds, Lucid is well positioned to take on the EV market with their Gravity SUV. Now, what is all this news people keep talking about with Tesla making their superchargers faster? Are they on the verge of revolutionizing the EV charging speeds once again? Currently testing enhanced charging capabilities on V4 dispensers in the United States, at least. We know about this. These stations, sometimes known as V4s, I've seen them on social media, called V3.5s or version 3 pluses. It's the V4 dispensers, so it's the new look post that you plug into, but all the heavy lifting and the grunt work is done in what we call the cabinets, and there'll be some big, normally green boxes that are sitting off to the side, out to the back, sometimes sort of disguised with fencing or some shrubbery and stuff like that, sometimes completely on show. Well, Tesla introduced the V3s back in March 2019, and that significantly improved charging speed to 250 kilowatts compared to 150 on the V2s, made possible by these power cabinets, which were rated at 1 megawatt, and obviously they share that power amongst the dispensers. Well, last year, Tesla unveiled the V4 supercharger dispensers, promising faster charging speeds. However, when they were initially installed in Europe and North America and Australia, they didn't change kind of the, you know, like I say, the back end of it, if you were. And so that 250 kilowatt peak charging speed was maintained. Despite not upgrading the power cabinets, Tesla's been making some behind-the-scenes adjustments to the V3 pluses, if you want to call them that, or the V4. We'll call them V4s if you want. The company is now testing higher charging speeds in the US. A social media user who goes by the name of Tesla Tino used the chargers to charge his Cybertruck at 323 kilowatts in California. Well, the lead engineer for the Cybertruck, Wes Morrill, saw this on social media and confirmed it was not an error or a bug in the system, but Tesla are indeed testing higher speeds at selected stations. While this development is promising, it won't benefit everybody because many Teslas are capped at 250 kilowatts in terms of the charge speed. And that's just a very short little peak anyway, and then it ramps down on most Teslas. But the Cybertruck, some recent Model Ys can go quicker. Obviously Model S, Model X, right, the refresh ones of those. They can charge a bit quicker, maybe even 300 kilowatt plus for some of those as well. So very cool to see a Cybertruck charging at 323 kilowatts. Let's hope they roll that out a little bit wider. But while I'm talking charging, a story that I've sat on for a couple of days, and this is wireless EV charging. The Oak Ridge National Laboratory, ORNL, in a recent test, recharged the Porsche Taycan, the original Taycan, at 270 kilowatts, setting a new record for wireless charging. That's 270 kilowatts wirelessly. Not bad, eh? To put it into perspective, commercially available wireless charging systems are typically maybe 11 kilowatts with 92% efficiency and maybe up to 20 kilowatts, whereas this new system uses what they say is lightweight polyphase electromagnetic coils. I'll pretend to know what I just said. Measuring just over 48 centimetres, actually, that's 19 inches in diameter, which allows for high power density. The receiver coil obviously gets mounted on the underside of your car. In this case, the one on the Taycan was 8 to 10 times more power dense than existing systems. According to the lead researcher, charging was conducted with a 12 centimetre gap, that's a 4.75 inch gap between the coil on the ground and the receiving coil on the car. So, a 5-inch gap, 12 centimetres or so, 270 kilowatts through thin air. It just blows my mind. Now, is plugging in a charging cable onerous? As I've said 1,000 times over the last couple of thousand podcasts, over how many times I've mentioned wireless charging, no, plugging in a car is not the end of the world. But I am convinced, somewhere, somehow, wireless charging will it has to take off somewhere. I just don't know where. Now, I do believe the hype, and the charging speeds are incredible. Is plugging in an EV the end of the world? No, not really, but it's got to be used somewhere. Now, the efficiency of this as well, which also blows my mind, is 95% efficiency. So again, it's as good as, if not better than, plugging in a cable through the air. Mind blown. I can't believe it. Of course, that's a 10-minute charge on a Porsche Taycan at crazy fast speeds. Now, there are systems out there already. There's some Jaguar I-Paces in Oslo, in Norway, taxis that do 50 kilowatts, for instance. They sort of sit on the taxi rank for 6 to 8 minutes and charge at 50 kilowatt bursts. That's all very cool, but this is incredible technology. All right. Hey, talking about Jaguar Land Rover Group, by the way, as I just mentioned, the I-Pace, I'll quickly mention this. I saw some spy shots going around of the Range Rover Sport. That's really interesting because obviously we had the I-Pace until now, but that's a Jaguar. Land Rover and Range Rover going electric, that gearing up for EV is a whole different thing. And the very popular Range Rover Sport is going to go electric 2025. You would think it's on the market, up against the likes of the Lotus Eletre, the Porsche Cayenne, one of six electric cars that the group Jaguar Land Rover will launch by 2026. They were going to have six Range Rovers by 2026. They've just slowed it down a little bit, but it's six vehicles in the group. Recently spotted testing in Spain with this Range Rover Sport and the prototype, alongside its petrol-powered counterpart for the new model. This is exciting because you would think it would be a big seller. The Range Rover Sport, very, very popular, and popular around the world, actually. Big in the US, big in China, big in Europe, and so that'll be fascinating to see how it stacks up when it arrives electric. Now, what about here in Europe, where Tesla's Giga Berlin factory is currently operating? But the question remains, will their sales be enough to justify the expansion? According to plant manager André Thierig, the answer is, it depends. He said that Tesla will not invest several billion dollars in the expansion of Giga Berlin without a clear signal from the market. And of course, that market is otherwise known as selling cars. This cautious approach is understandable with the significant costs, and interesting that somebody else is talking about Tesla and expansion and things apart from their CEO. So it's not very often we get to hear from other people in the company. However, there are positive signs on the horizon. The Brandenburg State Office for the Environment granted approval. Actually, correct myself, I think it was partial approval for Tesla's expansion at Giga Berlin, so at least they can begin construction within the existing site, not cutting down any more trees, but they're not going to until the market changes. Now, sales here in Great Britain could play a role in that, possibly. Tesla has just started to serve the right-hand drive market in Great Britain and Ireland, of course, from Berlin. And that's new because we were getting our cars coming in from China and from Shanghai. He said, we have a larger sales market than we can access directly, commenting to the German press agency. Well, for now, Tesla will monitor sales and assess the market before deciding on whether to spend the money on expanding Giga Berlin. And actually, here in the UK, I saw a story over the weekend flying around about Tesla Energy, or whatever they're going to call it when it hits the market. Tesla has appointed a lady called Roxanne Inskip-Kay. She's their new head of operations for Tesla Energy, the household bit. It's not a commercial or anything. It's going to be a retail offering. Now, she previously held senior roles at Social Energy and Ecotricity. She joined in June, according to a LinkedIn profile. Now, last year, Tesla revealed their ambition to sell electricity directly to British homes, like they're doing in the US. The move could be a big challenge to the current market. A recent job listing from Tesla highlighting their initiative to offer a retail product, saying, and I quote, "As part of Tesla's mission to accelerate the transition to sustainable energy, we have launched Tesla Electric," end quote. Well, Tesla's strategy involves marketing electricity directly to households, but I think they will start with owners of not even the cars, actually. I think they'll start with Powerwall, probably Powerwall 3, and look to do something with Powerwall 3 where you get a killer deal on your electric costs, maybe even your car charging, but on the condition that they get to use your Powerwall 3, which I think is on the market here. I think, I know it's on sale, but I don't know how many are going in the UK. And they get access to that. Maybe it'll be the top 10 or 20% of that. You give them, and then you get a great price all day round, but they can do some energy trading. That's what I think. I mean, because that's been going on a while anyway. There's been trials with Octopus, with Tesla, but they do it. I think Tesla Energy or Tesla Electric, whatever it's called, will be a company that you can now buy your electricity from, which is really interesting. Right, stick around. When we come back, we will talk about investing in electric vans, what the Ford CEO, Jim Farley, thinks about going electric, and we'll talk battery swapping back in a second. All right, thanks for sitting through the ads. If you did sit through the ads, and if you didn't, it's probably because you're listening on Patreon. If you're a Patreon supporter, you get your own RSS feed. You copy-paste that into your podcast app on your phone or however you listen, and it strips out the ads. So it's a benefit of being a Patreon supporter, and you know that you put this show on the air because this is all I do now. So thank you very much for your support. So you've seen the headlines. EVs are in the toilet. You've seen the headlines, the newspapers and the websites. No one's buying EVs anymore. It's always interesting to look at the data because it doesn't say that. This story I found in the UK's Telegraph newspaper with a disastrous headline. You know, the slump in EV sales. Well, let's look at what the story says. Last month in July, EVs were 27.4% of our car market. That is up from 24% same month last year. So year on year, 24 to 27. So far, we're not finding a slump. Growth was driven by pure BEVs and plug-in hybrids. BEV sales were up year on year, 18.8%. So that's not a slump yet. Okay, 27,500 BEVs, I should say, pure electric vehicles, sold last month in the UK. Plug-in sales were up as well, 12%, not as much as the almost 20% BEVs were, but plug-in hybrids were up as well. Whereas the overall car market in the UK was up only 2.5% year on year, same month. I'm still looking for the slump. Don't know about you, but I'm looking for the slump and I can't see it because I'm looking at the numbers according to the article. I'm ignoring the headline for a second. I'm reading what they've written beneath it. Traditional petrol and diesel vehicles saw a decline. Diesel vehicles were just 5.9% market share last month. Now, I remember like 50, 60, 70% in some European countries. You go back 20 years when we were in love with diesel. Politically, they were incentivized. And some, you know, France and Italy, UK as well, had massive diesel shares. I mean, well over half of all cars sold were diesel. 5.9%. Like, we've seen that shift so quickly. Like, the change in the car industry, it does blow me away. Like, that diesel number is almost a rounding error at 5.9% now. BMW was the number one BEV brand in the UK, capturing 10% of the market, reclaiming the top spot from Tesla at 9% and VW 7.5%. The UK market saw new EVs last month introduce the Audi Q6 e-tron and the Dacia Spring. starting at £14,995. That's proper cheap. Now, here in the UK, we have the ZEV mandate, or ZEV mandate, the zero emission vehicle mandate. So UK car makers, or if you sell a car here, 22% of your sales must be pure BEVs by the end of the year. That goes up to 80% by 2030. There's some allowances and credits and stuff you can do, but if you do that, you're just shifting the problem into the future. Really, the Labour Party, our new government, is going to reinstate the ban on petrol and diesel in 2030. Now, look, I looked at all those numbers. Everything's up. Where's the slump? It's not there. Like, you read the headlines, EV sales are down, and, oh, the heat is coming off EVs. Show me the data, and I'll believe you. But all of the numbers are up. I don't understand. And there are some markets around the world. There are some car makers around the world that perhaps aren't growing at the speed at which they were predicted to when the world went a little bit crazy a couple of years ago and EVs were going to be, you know, every car sold. So some of the car makers are adjusting their plans. That must be really hard for them. Fabulously difficult. Very capital intensive. I'm not saying that's not true, but this whole EV slump narrative, It's just not true. Anyway, let's move on. And Geely is revolutionising the EV market with their investment in LEVC. LEVC make the London Black Cab with another £120 million UK pounds of investment, £70 million last October and £50 million this May. The capital is earmarked for the new EV platform called the SOA, Space Oriented Architecture. And they are going to launch those in Europe, China, the UK. The L380 is a van, electric van, already hitting the Chinese market, coming to the UK soon as well. Now, Geely's relationship with LEVC goes back to 11 years or so when they rescued the old taxi company. And of course, the first thing to do was a range extended taxi, the famous London Black Cab, and more investment going there. Well, is it time for you to go EV if you haven't done yet, according to the Ford CEO, Jim Farley? Yes, a resounding yes. He says that at least half of today's car buyers would benefit from going EV. And the rest will do it in time. He emphasised the advantages on Ford's Q2 earnings call, saying, and I quote, "On electrification, we've been very vocal about why electric vehicles are so important and a great choice for customers and businesses," end quote. He talked about usage, cost of ownership, and he said that half of car buyers today would be better off, acknowledging, though, that some high prices remain, and that can be an obstacle for wider EV adoption and also consumer preferences as well. And he thinks that more people should be considering smaller cars rather than these uber large SUVs and pickup trucks, which some people need to work or just for preference. But how many people actually think about it? Could you use a smaller vehicle? Do you necessarily need, you know, the bigger is better mentality? And the answer might be yes, it might be no. Now, to address the challenges, Ford has been working on a new project for low-cost EVs and a low-cost platform as well, a so-called Skunkworks team, putting together this vehicle, which should arrive in 2026 or maybe late 2026. And they're aiming for $30,000 as a starting price on that, which would be incredible. Let's talk battery swapping. And NIO has revolutionized EV charging in China, celebrating recently 50 million battery swaps. I still have people say to me on social media and what have you, "Oh, I'm not sure whether battery swapping will ever work." Well, that's nice for you, but in China it does, and it's proven to work 50 million times. What a number. It happened 2 days ago on August 5th. They said it was 11:33 p.m. Beijing time. They even got the exact 50 millionth battery swap. Incredible. They say they delivered 2.62 billion kilowatt hours of electricity. And it's the preferred method of NIO owners, with nearly 60% of the power for NIO vehicles coming from battery swap stations. There's 2,500 of them in China. 825 are on main highways as well. They do 79,000 swaps a day every 1.1 second. Now, the Hyundai Ioniq 6 is a fantastic vehicle, but it's been around a while now, so much so that it's getting a facelift for the 2026 model year, so it's probably about a year away. So we've got some significant updates coming here under camouflage, front end change and a rear end change. Not completely, because you can kind of see the camouflage. There's loads of camo on this thing, but you can see the outline, and it's still the same shape of the Hyundai Ioniq 6, and that's about the right time for the Kia update to happen because the EV6 had a 2022 launch and a 2025 update. It's about 3 years and they refresh the styling. And finally, Washington State has introduced a groundbreaking initiative to boost EV adoption amongst low-income residents. Governor Jay Inslee announcing on August the 1st the launch of the Washington State Instant Rebate Program, designed to make EVs more affordable for a larger segment of the population. It is up to $9,000 for new EV leases, which are 3 years or more, $5,000 for new EV purchases or a two-year lease, and $2,500 for a used EV purchase or lease. Eligibility criteria require residents to have an annual income up to $45,000 individually, $94,000 for a family. The program applies to EVs below $90,000. The Washington State Department of Commerce earmarking $45 million from their fund for their initiative. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. And Lease Plan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance that EV drivers need. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.